I'm going to teach through a verse that I think is very important, and then I'm going to continue. This is the third week we're teaching on this subject, turning fringe attendees into core members. I'm laying the groundwork preparation for starting some new Sunday school classes. We're going to start some new adult classes. I want to get you prepared. I want you to get a vision. I want you to get excited about it. I want you to understand the philosophy, why we're doing it. So we're going to get more into specifics today as far as some of the reasons that I think it's important to do. And then also I want to teach you some Bible and teach you a couple of portions of Scripture. Folks, listen to me. The only way our church is going to grow is everybody gets involved in helping people grow. Everybody needs to be involved. Safest place in the world you can be, and I've showed you this and illustrated this time and again, is you ought to be being discipled while you're discipling someone else. If you're in the middle of those two, you're in a pretty good place. You're in a pretty safe place. Everyone, you're never going to reach the point where you should not be still being discipled. Everybody should still be in the process of being discipled. Nobody's arrived. I'm senior pastor at Blood Soap Baptist Church, and I haven't arrived. I would suspect you haven't either. I fight the philosophy of you are a disciplee, and then you're a discipler, and you graduate. If you graduate from being a disciplee to a discipler, pretty soon you're not going to be much good as a discipler. Because if you're not growing, you can't grow people. Let's just say, all wake up, shake our head. Yeah, preacher, I hear you. That's me too. I need to be discipled. And I need to be discipling someone. If you're saved, that's the command. That's the plan. And Paul challenged Timothy. He said, Timothy, the key. I was talking to this about to a preacher the other day. And matter of fact, let's just go there and look at that real quick because we're not far from it. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd want to be involved in this. I don't want to live my life dying, never influenced anybody for the kingdom of God. I don't want to live my life dying, never see people win souls. I don't want to live my life and die and not have replaced some people, brought up some people underneath me that's solid in the service of God. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now here Paul is talking to Timothy. He said, now listen, I discipled you, Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's the plan. That's the great cycle that's gone down through the church age. And I believe it's key. I'm looking at, and we're blessed here. Look around. We're blessed. There's a lot of men in this room right now. There's men that aren't in this room that are busy discipling right now. In Sunday school classes, discipling in Sunday school classes. But let me just say this. We have an absence in most of our churches of men. It's sad when you, I mean, we're spoiled here. We're spoiled here. I'm not saying we're where we ought to be. But when I've got 48 men signed up for the pastor's prayer team, that's exciting. You know, we've got a core group of men that are serious about serving the Lord. But listen to me. It's not just... First of all, Satan's got the men out of the church. Secondly, when they're in the church, it's hard to get them faithful. And that's the stipulation here. That is the stipulation. You know what Paul said? So Timothy, listen, when you're looking for someone to disciple, find a faithful man. Find a faithful man. And he said, you know what? You take everything I've taught you and you commit it to faithful men and you teach them. Now here's the big thing. Because Timothy wasn't just to teach them what he knew, he was to teach them how to teach what they knew. That's important. That is important. We're going to have here in the near future, I'll just give you this heads up, but we're going to have here where, and I don't know where I'm going to find the slot to do it, but I'm going to meet with our men during one of the, probably Wednesday night or sometime for 4, 5, 6 weeks. Those that want to, and it's just totally volunteer. But I want to meet with the men, and I'll have somebody else come in here and preach every Wednesday night, and I want to meet with our men. And I want to teach a lay preaching class. A lay preaching class. And there's men in our church that preach every month. There's men in our church that preach every week that aren't ordained pastors. You know, I think even as a layman, you need to learn how to communicate truth. It's one thing to know truth. It's another thing to have the ability to communicate truth. And Sunday school teachers need this. Our prison ministry men, anybody that holds the Bible up and preaches the Word of God. You know what? It's not my job just to teach you what you should know and to commit those things to you, the Word of God, but also to teach you how to communicate those things. And listen, that's what it's about. If we can know it, but if we can't communicate it, then we're not passing it along. We have to pass it to the next generation. So this is what we do. Now, Brother Jerry, bring this back to our Sunday school class. Let me bring you back to our adult Sunday school classes. We need men and we need people in these classes that have grown and accepted and have had committed to them some truths and know how to, on a one-on-one basis, transfer those truths, help other people grow. You need to know how to do it where you don't come across as belligerent. You need to know how to do it in meekness. You need to know how to do it in kindness. But we do need to communicate and help disciple people and get them to grow to where God wants them to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, tremendous Bible principle there. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to talk to you about this because we're going to try to multiply by dividing. We're going to have some other adult classes. I think that this is going to be the future. This is going to help us in our next growth phase. We had to get the building built. Thank God that's almost completed. It's in the winding down process. We're going to very soon have to, if we're going to start these classes, and I know nobody wants to think about this, but we've got to go downstairs and we've got to remodel and put some walls up and enclose and divide some Sunday school rooms and get ready. And Brother Jerry, shouldn't we just be done building for a while? Well, yeah, we're going to be done soon. We are. I'm planning to cancel all future building projects right after the trumpet sounds. But my Bible says work for the night is coming. You know, we're not supposed to just do a little bit and then, oh good, now let's take a 4-year rest period. No, let's keep working. Let's keep going forward. Let's keep building. Let's keep reaching people for Christ. We're going to have an eternity to rest. And so let's stay with it. But that's going to have to be done. I got a list of men that's going to do it. I won't tell you how I compiled it, but you can guess probably. All right. So, but we want to do this. We want to get people together. We want to multiply by dividing. We're going to get some smaller adult classes going, and we want those classes to build. I hope they build to the point where they have to divide, and that we'll continue to do this. And that's the future. That's what we need to do to build the core strength of the church, to build adults in our church. I'm just convinced that that Lee Robertson and that whole crowd didn't have it wrong, that you build churches by building a Sunday school. You can build a church by building Sunday school. I think that's the key, and we're gonna work hard at that. All right, now, let me have you help prepare you for that. Look at verse 26. I've taught this before. It's been a while. I think this is one of the key things. Believe it or not, this is one of the verses that I preach on a lot of times if I'm preaching in youth camps or youth conferences. That should shock you, especially when we read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:26 says, "Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." Let's pray, and then we're going to teach a little bit on this. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, and give us insight and wisdom. Give us a hunger to help. I don't know if there's anything more rewarding in the world than seeing people sitting at God's house and know that in some way you had a part in helping them, helping to disciple them, helping to reach them, helping to mature them in the Lord. And I pray that we'd learn to do this. I pray that everyone would learn to do this. Lord, be involved in this. Have the right motive. Have the right heart. Not for selfish reasons. Not for selfish intents. Not to gain influence so that we can have our own following. But to genuinely help people with the right heart, the right motive. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to obey this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:26. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. I preach a message. I think this is so important. But I preach a message entitled 10 Commands for the New Testament Church. And I believe that these are important. You find these little short commands at the end of a letter that Paul wrote to a local New Testament church. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. This verse 26, I'm not going to teach all of them, but this last one is a direct command from Almighty God to church members here at Thessalonica. Since this is the inspired word of God, we know that if we're church members today, it applies to us. And I'm talking about a command like, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt have no other gods for him. You know, those are commands. These are commands. You know, God doesn't have important commands and unimportant commands. These are important commands. If we're not greeting all the brethren with a holy kiss, we don't understand what that means, and we're delinquent in doing that in the church house, then we're living in direct disobedience to Almighty God. That means you can walk into church and attend every week, and I believe there's church members that do it, that walk in every week and break all 10 commands every time they come in the church house. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Have you come in with that? Are you doing that? Have you done that since you got here? Brother, I just want to go find an exciting church. I'll tell you how to have an exciting church. Let's be obedient. I know how to have a church where visitors come in. They go, wow, this place is different. We just need to start being obedient. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Have you already been disobeying that command? I mean, give me a church where from the time people see the property and start pulling in, buddy, the prayer's kicking in. When they're parking their car, they're praying. As they see the buses coming in behind them, they're praying. See kids unload, they're praying. Gather together. Men, did you meet with your prayer partners today? Did you make any effort to do that? Are you just going to go through another month of hit miss and, well, if I manage? And wives, if your husband says, I need to be there at a quarter till to meet with it, then get ready so he can be here at a quarter till. Prayer's important. Are we doing these things? This is good. Amen. Amen. This is right. I said I wasn't going to preach through these things, but boy, it'd be good for us. But here's one. Here's one. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Let me break this verse down with you. First of all, that first word is greet. You know what that means? You actively go on the offensive. You participate in this. It is on you not to come and sit and see how many people come shake your hand that you're disobeying the verse. You're supposed to greet all the brethren. You're supposed to be active in making sure that people know that you're glad to see them. People know that they're welcome. People know that they're important. People know that you notice them. Have you been on? Now listen, you say, Brother, I can't all the time get here and get everything kids in, and I can't get to everybody. Get to as many as you can. Get to as many as you can. But that's a command. You know what? That's part of what makes a successful church. If you come in and you only shake hands with the same three people every Sunday, or you make no effort to do it whatsoever, shame on you. You're living in disobedience to God. You're living in disobedience. It's not, we didn't create the position of usher so that we could have people that is their assigned duty to shake hands and the rest of us are off the hook. Amen. When's the last time you met one of these bus kids and found out their name? When's the last time you went over and shook hands with a new teenager that you seen walk in? And find out their name and introduce yourself. Listen, let me give you something because it's very, very important. Our society has become a hermit society, a society of isolationists. I mean, in our neighborhoods, let me just give you the broader perspective. In our neighborhoods, neighborhoods used to be a community. Neighborhoods used to be interactive. Now everybody lives in a neighborhood and they build their fortress and they build their fences and they put their electric shock systems up and their pit bulls out there. And boy, somebody's tire better not get on my yard. And what are they doing at my front door? And we build our little fortresses. We don't interact. But you know what? There is a human need for that. There's a desire in most every human to want to have something that they belong to. They want interaction. They want friendships. They want to feel a part of something. Amen. Amen. So now what we've done is we've come to the church and we've transferred that isolationism, that hermit-like mentality, into the fact that we all come in, we all have our section, we all have our seat, we all have our pew, and we just kind of are hermits even while we're in here. And God says, that's not right. That's not right. So that means that every one of us, if we're going to live in obedience to Christ, have to be church greeters. Somebody asked me once, you know, said, Brother Jerry, should we have some people that we just have as hosts and hostesses that are assigned to be out there to greet the people? Yeah, we should. And I just enlisted all of you. Who's it going to be this week? Okay, here's the sign-up list. You. That's it. That's who's assigned. I'm honest. In between services, before services, after services. Go grab some hands. Go find some people. Go say howdy. People walk into God's house and they ought to walk in the friendliest place in the world. You see, so it behooves all of us to do that. And we're commanded to do that. Now, greet is the first word in this. Look at the next section there. It says, greet all the brethren. Now, God put that in there on purpose. What he's trying to prevent is cliques. What he's trying to prevent is little small isolated groups in the church. Like I said a few minutes ago, if you only shake hands with the same two or three people every week, well, they're my friends. Well, here's an idea. Make more friends. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. I mean, reach out to somebody. Look for that person along the fringes. Look at that person that doesn't seem to have anybody. Somebody's sitting there going, yeah, that's me. I wish somebody would. Get up. You be that person. There's probably somebody else like you. Go find them. No, I think I'll just sit here and feel sorry for myself. Well, bless your heart. But you're living in disobedience to God. But all of us, greet all the brethren. All the brethren. I think that's those kids. I think that's teenagers. I think that's senior saints. I think that's married couples. I think that's young adults. I think that's all of us. I want everybody, let me just say this. My heart's desire is I want everybody that walks in the door of Blessed Baptist Church to feel welcome, overwhelmingly welcome. Overwhelmingly welcome. You see, folks, the reason God put these commands in here is there's certain things. Listen very carefully to what I have to say. There's certain catalysts, there's certain things that slowly open the door of a hardened heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God knows the heart of man. And what God is trying to do by giving us these Ten Commands is create an atmosphere so that hardened sinners or people that are lost and maybe come in really with no intent to be saved, that there is such an overwhelming difference and a friendliness that it opens up something that in their heart, maybe for the first time in a long time, that allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to come in. Does that make sense to you? God created us. God knows our human need. God knows how this thing works. And I believe this. I think we live in such a world that is so negative and so prayerless and so thankless and so unconcerned about what the Spirit of God's trying to do and has so undervalued preaching and doesn't seem to care where the gray areas are and not only doesn't abstain from appearance of evil, but evil, And there's not a sense of prayer. There's not a sense of power. But if the church exercises these things, they come into a place like this. They come into an adult Sunday school class with fear and trembling. And am I going to fit in? And I'll try this thing once and see what happens. And they go home, and all the way home, they're looking at each other saying, what was that? Man. It's like one of the our bus kids that just, I share the story, one of the kids that just started coming to our Christian school this year. One of our new girls that we reached through the bus ministry. One of the teachers wanted to find out what she thought of the Christian school. So she went to her and said, well, what do you think so far? Give me some feedback. I really want to know what you think. She said, well, it's like I've landed on a different planet. And then she kind of, I think, thought maybe that sounded bad. So she said to the teacher, but it's a good planet. You know what, folks? Light is supposed to be so opposite of darkness that when people walk in the church house, they think, I have landed on a different planet. And that's why we walk the perimeter. That's why we preach what we preach, folks. We're to be light. I don't understand this. I know I hit this a lot, but I don't understand this philosophy of you reach the world by becoming like the world. The church has to become like the world to reach the world. You're not reached the world. The world's reached you. I mean, they ought to just walk into a place where, can I say this, folks? Love never faileth. Love never faileth. I mean, they don't walk in their work and feel loved. They don't walk in hello, man, am I right? I mean, you don't start the day with a group hug where you work, do you? Kind of hope not, actually. Well, there's no love there. You know what it is? It's dog eat dog, and if I can put this guy down, I will, and blaspheme God, and I mean there, you know. Well, God is love. If God's here, then love ought to be here. You know, most people are they go to the workplace. They don't find love. I'm sorry to say this. A lot of them in their own home don't find love. They go and try to join this, that, and the other, and you know what? They don't find love. And to walk into place where, and we're going to get to this if I get going here, but to walk into place where there is, and that's what it talks about, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. What's that talking about? That's talking about genuine Christian affection. Okay? Now, I'm not, oh, it got quiet in here. This is good. I'm not asking you, nor am I giving you permission to run around kissing everybody here. Amen? But in this culture, in the culture that Paul wrote, they weren't a handshaking people. And for the most part in the Middle East, they're still not. And let me say this. This did not cross gender boundaries. When Paul wrote this, men greeted each other. They greeted each other cheek to cheek. Women cheek to cheek. But a man didn't go to another man's wife or to a young lady and do that. Or a woman didn't go to a man and do that. All these preachers that want to stand back the back door and hug every woman that leaves, they make me a little nervous. I'm saying, oh, brother, they're just that way. Yeah, they're so holy, they don't have a problem with the flesh. Amen. It's good to know people are right. Brother Klein having his presentation, if you think that you can't have a failure in this area of the flesh, you're stronger than Samson and wiser than Solomon and something about David. I can't remember what it was. But I know this, if those men could have failings in the flesh, we can, and we better abstain from all appearance of evil. I think that's still in this list too, isn't it? We need to build boundaries. What this is talking about, and I just wanted to explain that, well, this is talking about genuine Christian affection. There's nothing wrong with the word affection. I like to use the word Christian affection because that's one word that the world hasn't totally polluted yet. Let me show it to you. By the way, let's go over to find my place here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's back up a little bit. Paul, in this same book, He displays, he mentors before the people what he's talking about here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, let me read. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God with trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. By the way, one of the ways you can figure out whether or not somebody's displaying true Christian affection or just being nice in order as an alternative way to try to use you is to, he said, listen, we weren't the way we are in the way he's going to describe minutes so that we could see we'd get out of you or get from you. That's polluted. That's tainted. That's what the world does. We can't do that here. Genuine love, genuine affection, as Pastor mentioned, Pastor Ross mentioned Wednesday night, and even in this matter of giving, is not to do so that we can see what we can get back or we know we're going to have that given back. It's pure. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. No strings attached. Not for His benefit, for our benefit. So Paul said, listen, there's no smoke and mirrors here. There's no alternative motive. He said, but notice in verse 7, I love this. This is beautiful. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Let's stop and just look at that. Would you just please look at that? Listen, Baptist Church, as you interact with the membership here, as you interact with new people, are you gentle among them? Are you gentle among them? The people out in the world, the people that are lost, people that come into this church, you know what? They seldom, if ever, experience Christian gentleness. Don't come in here like a bull in a china shop. Well, so I'm just going to give so-and-so a piece of my mind. You can't afford to lose any. You need to hold on to every piece you have, especially if you think like that. Don't be that way. When you interact with people, there ought to listen. Jesus was gentle among us. There was a Christian gentleness, and there ought to be a Christian gentleness in the way we interact with people. Be careful of what you say. Stop being so caustic with everybody. Okay. Even when we have to take care of some things, we can do it with Christian grace. So he said, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. You know what we need? We need to understand that new converts are newborn babes. We need nursery training in our congregations. Oh, you mean to train for working in a nursery? No, to understand that you're dealing with newborn Christians. And it's interesting that Paul's talking about himself. He's talking about him as an elder or as a pastor here. But these are motherly terms. These are talking about the gentleness someone would have. And man, we've got babies around here. Praise the Lord for babies. I decided I want to wait. But towards the end of 2008, I'm going to put on the sign, 2008 baby boom year. And then I'm going to list on that side of the sign all the names of the babies that were born this year. And then at the bottom, I'm going to put a little parenthesis and it's going to say over. Because you're going to have to turn around and come back the other way to see the rest of the names of all the babies that have been. Now, mothers, this is true. You want to see all of these young mothers around here, and they're so sweet. You want to see them not be sweet? You mishandle their baby. You say, can I hold your baby? And then you start being rough. You know what? They won't care about your feelings. They won't, listen, they'll gouge your eyeballs out. They're going to get their child away from you. By the way, that's how I feel as pastor too. Stop being rough with the babies. Yeah, I've got that same feeling. Moms, every mom in here know what I'm talking about? By the way, every dad know here? I can't imagine a daddy sitting there and watching somebody take one of their newborn babies and start doing anything that would be dangerous with them. I don't understand what's going on in our society. I mean, babies are being killed regularly by quote-unquote parents that grab them and shake them and mistreat them. That's what the Bible says, unnatural affection, that there's going to be no natural affection in the end days. I mean, we live in a... But listen, folks, to bring that to us, wait a minute. Just making sense to you? And so what we've got to do is understand that. Well, you know, they've been coming here, Brother Jerry, 2 months, and they still aren't doing this, and I need to... You need to what? You want a two-month-old baby in the nursery? You want to go back there and shove steak down his throat? You're not ready for meat. Is good for us? And what I'm saying is this. Man, I'm telling you, I'd love to see Sunday school class at Bluffville Baptist Church where we've got a bunch of good-looking, sharp core members. And then I'd like to see about a third of the class just be made up of the mangiest-looking people you've ever seen in your life. Here? That blessed, holy hope? Oh, hang around. I'm just warming up. Act 2's coming at 10:30. We're going to do some preaching this morning. I'm just warming myself up. You know, that's exactly the attitude the Pharisees had. And Jesus was in a fighting fit with them all the time. And folks, listen, I know people need to grow. I know all of that. And we will. We'll grow them. We'll preach. We'll help them. But you've got to understand the process. The process isn't come here, and if within 3 months you're not everything everybody else is that's been here 30 years, then we're going to put pressure on you till we can run you out the door. That's wicked. That's wicked. That's wicked. Most of you that were saved later on in life, if you were in a church that did that to you, you wouldn't even be in church right now today. You wouldn't be in church. You know why you're still in church? Because somebody loved you. Somebody cared for you. Somebody was gentle with you. Somebody went the extra mile with you for a long time. I wonder if I could have went to that viewing last night and knew his testimony. If Pastor Ross and the people of Bluffville Baptist Church hadn't decided that they were going to be patient with Ron Allen. And most of you are here and you know the story. I think it was worth it. I'm not talking about letting Tom Fuller go along, and Pastor didn't let Tom Fuller go along. But I'm talking about, folks, listen to me. People are just in a mess out there. They're just in a mess out there. And they come in, and I know they need fixing up, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to listen to you 100 times more after you prove you love them than you are showing up with your church handbook that you wrote. I didn't publish it. After 3 weeks and saying, oh, by the way, since you're here, you need to know what is expected. And we ought to expect some things. But let's let them grow in grace. You see what Paul did? I think this portion of Scripture is telling us why Paul could go all over Europe and plant churches and when he left town, not only have a strong church, but have a church that loved him. For the most part, was doing right. I think he's showing us something here. And then Paul, here's the word I wanted to get to. Look at verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls because you were dear unto us. I would like all of you, and I don't have time to teach all of this, but if you would read in the coming weeks 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 regularly and break this down word by word, phase by phase. I love this. Isn't it sad that we live in such a wicked, perverted world that when we see a Bible phrase like affectionately desirous, We can't hardly, because of the world we live in, not have an askewed view of what that means. I mean, if I said to you, hey, there's a pastor down the road, and you know what? He's affectionately desirous of his people. Happy we go, what? But that's a Bible term. There's nothing perverted about it. You know what that means? That he with affection, with true Christian affection, cared about them, loved them, cherished them, nursed them, and desired for them that they come to a maturity in Jesus Christ. And that love that never fails was so powerful in these people's lives that it broke down the barriers that was preventing them from listening and accepting and embracing truth. And I think we've got to create an environment in our Sunday school classes, in our church, in the foyer, out in the parking lot, everywhere people go, where they walk in here and love permeates everything. 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 God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? So if God is love and God's here, there's love. If there's Holy Spirit fullness in God's people, there's love. It ought to be the natural, normal thing to look at somebody and feel good, feel a pure Christian affection towards them even before you know who they are. Instead of, oh, I wonder who they are. Well, I'm going to take a look, see if they qualify to be a possibility of maybe being a member of this church one of these days. Why don't you love people? Why don't you just love them? The way they come in. Green hair, pink hair, blue hair. One ear ring, 10 ear rings, 50 ear rings. With or without tattoos. It's where we're at. It's the society we live in. I'm not for any of that stuff, but I'm for loving the people that have those things. You know, we're not going to change the rules and allow that in our Christian school. Take a deep breath. But we're going to love every kid that comes in on Sunday morning like that. I mean, that kid ought to feel it. Remember what I said? I don't know if I said that in here last week or not. But you know what every one of those things are? Every one of those things are this. Help me! If you'll think of those two words every time you see this, that's what it is. That is what it is. Oh, and we just tend to see some. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, they come strutting in here. Look at, oh, yeah, they're just showing off their stand. No, that is, help me. Please help me. I'm so lost. I'm so confused. I'm so hard. I'm trying so hard to fit in and to find somebody that honestly cares, that look what I have been willing to try and do just to fit in somewhere. I decided to come here. Help me. And I guarantee you this, folks. Now, you can preach some of that stuff gone, but it's a lot easier to love and then preach those things gone. Amen? You'll love most of that stuff away. I mean, love will take care of that, most of that stuff, more than preaching will take care of more of that stuff. And so remember that, because, you know, Brother, you're talking about breaking us up into classes. It's not so I can create cliques. So I can get core groups of people to say, we're going to reach the unwanted. We're going to reach the unloved. Everybody that walks in this classroom immediately is going to be as much a part as I am of this class. It's going to be made just as felt to be welcome as somebody I've known for 20 years. I'm going to love somebody that I've known for 2 minutes as much as I loved for 20 years. I'm going to ask God to give me that kind of love and reach out. And Sister Connie, did you feel that when you came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And that's why she's here, and that's why her babies are in our Christian school. And that's why she goes soul winning with Tanya on Sunday or on Saturdays and tells the people in Worthington, you know me, you know me. I hate church. I hated church. I didn't like any church. But this church is different. You need to come. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God. Lord, help us all. Help this preacher. Help me to be more of all that I've said, Lord. Give us a heart for people. Give us love for people. Give us tears for people. Lord, help us to reach across boundaries. Help us to reach across barriers. Help us to reach across, Lord, to that one that needs to be reached. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Give us a heart to reach people for Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.